Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Kid Felty wrote, Izudo Biha, 1,000 welcomes to the Village Oak Tree for March 13, 2024. My name's Terrence O'Donnell, and I'm returning again to your village this week with more political discourse. My subject is the current state of affairs in the United States right now. Given that the president just delivered a controversial speech at the State of the Union address a few days ago, I thought it would be appropriate to dive in with the rest of the writers who are all expounding on all this drama afterwards. So I will be taking a wee break around the 15-minute mark thereabouts to offer you my public service announcement for preventing veteran suicides. I thank you for spending your valuable time with me today. It's all anyone's talking about this week. The U.S. President's State of the Union speech and a young senator from Alabama. Her somewhat unhinged rebuttal of Biden's speech was so bad, I couldn't finish it. I didn't watch a SODU speech. I just caught some of the highlights from the news feeds, but the aftermath has gone off the rails. Trump, as expected, went off like a schoolyard bully all over everywhere, teasing Biden about a speech impediment, age, and everything else he could think of. As this history precedes him, we know that this is to be expected and will be the biggest portion of his rally speeches from now on. The thing that worries me most is this lack of press coverage calling him out. I read article after article of late about how the news media in the United States is now so afraid of politicians, they're not publishing any news that might even remotely disparage any politician anywhere, from local townships to Washington, D.C. The U.S. First Amendment to their Constitution is supposed to protect freedom of the press. That's largely being ignored by their judicial system. And you know, local newspapers are being raided by police at the instigation of local politicians, and corporate news media outfits like Fox News and CNN, Washington Post, and others. They're all obviously biased in one direction or the other, or subdued to the point of irrelevancy. They're just political mouthpieces now. Local news companies are closing up shop because they can't make enough money to keep the doors open anymore, or are sued out of existence for the slightest perceived slight in their papers. This is how American freedoms are being taken away. As I've mentioned repeatedly, there's no more freedom of the press. Civil rights are being taken away more and more every year. Women are losing the right to body autonomy in a lot of states, with more states jumping on that bandwagon nearly every month. The LGBTQ plus people, especially trans people, are being forced out of their homes and lives, having to relocate to strange places far across the country from their families and friends, over fears for their lives. Pregnant women in large amount of the states are having to travel out of state for prenatal care if it involves anything to do with a premature birth, a stillborn, or some other malady other than a normal healthy birth. The Christian nationalists are become giddy over the prospects of the U.S. becoming an authoritarian theocracy run by evangelical ministers. They're putting all their eggs in the Trump basket and doing everything they can to get him elected again. For the Republicans, they're a mixed batch. Some, like Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, are resigned to supporting Trump with dire misgivings. A lot more of the moderate ones, both Republican and Democrat, are throwing in the towel and not seeking re-election this time, leaving their seats open to more MAGA Republicans. Not that this is happening in any large numbers, though. The Democrats are smelling blood in the water and surging a little in a few districts, taking advantage of the dissatisfaction of the voters. Overall, the MAGA function is overwhelming the headlines everywhere, in large part due to the certain people hogging the media. Donald Trump, obviously. Then there are people like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, Matt Gaetz from Florida, and a lot of others. The majority of these wannabe media stars are pretty stupid, but they have entertainment value, so they get voted in and keep getting reelected, just as long as they keep being entertaining. The United States mirrors the ancient Roman Empire in so many ways now. Anyone who's ever studied ancient history can see that. The empire is full of politicians who are so busy with their own personal well-being that the peons are left for themselves. At this time in that parallel history, Rome had more slaves than affluent citizens, but used their army to keep everyone in line. They had many rebellions in their outlying areas, which they brutally cracked down on until they couldn't anymore. They had little rebellions in Rome by the slaves that caused a lot of chaos. Think of Spartacus. He was an actual person who led a slave rebellion, but that didn't turn out so well for him in the end. In the U.S. right now, there's a growing slave rebellion brewing. The U.S. saw some of that back on January 6, 2021. The MAGA revolution is just getting started. If the majority of the American voters embrace that ideology in November of 2024, the United States, as the world knows it now, will disappear within a few short years. Well within the 4 years of the MAGA government taking over starting in 2025. I've read multiple articles about what that would look like recently. First, Trump will do as he promised. He'll become a dictator for a day, 2 days, or more. He will consolidate the federal government and fire all the people not loyal to him and replace them with his loyalists. Within the first year, he'll remove the U.S. from NATO and the Paris Accords and any other treaties he doesn't like because they don't benefit him or his business cronies. He will ramp up the trade war with China and Europe once again. Again, to benefit big business, but of little value or even detriment to the average blue-collar family. Last time he did this, goods from China and Europe got hung up in the supply chain, and what did make it through customs were nearly priced out of reach for average to poor-income families. This is just a taste of what he wants to do. Then there's loyalists who want to implement all other changes. The white Christian nationalists who want to implement Project 2025 and turn the government into a theocracy with Trump at the helm. Stephen Miller, you remember him? Trump's immigration advisor. You just have to know that he'll likely return to his post and start the inhumane policies at the border again. With the Trump 2.0 in charge, there'll be no one left in the governments anywhere to stop them. Expect a lot more deaths at the southern border. A possible limited shooting war with Mexico over migrants and the cartels, and setting up the same draconian policies at the northern border with Canada. Canadians wanting to visit the U.S. or, God forbid, immigrate, will be told no, especially if they have dark skin. Miller will take over the immigration portion of Homeland Security and restrict access to the U.S. to only a select few peoples. By the time they're finished, the United States will be just a shell of its former self and a pariah on the world stage. The EU will have distanced itself from them, and the only friends the U.S. will have left will be the U.K., to include Australia. Republic of Ireland will also put a little distance in their relationship because of Trump's stance with Israel. The Irish diaspora in North America will always have a connection, but Trump's government will put a damper on that for sure, unless Ireland gives him something in return. Whoever becomes the new Secretary of State will, obviously, be a Trump loyalist. Maybe his son, Jared? Ivanka has already said she'll be a stay-at-home mom by this time. Trump will do all he can to ensure his dynasty, so you could expect he'll try his best to set up a succession with his sons in line for the throne. His daughter-in-law just got set up to be co-partner of the Republican National Convention, so it's already starting. Since Trump is only doing this for his massive ego and not for the good of his voters, we can expect him to run the country into the ground while he runs away with billions of dollars to keep his kingdom going after his death. And I don't mean the kingdom of the United States. We're talking about his own personal kingdom of Trump Incorporated. He will gut the economy and run away afterwards, leaving the U.S. in economic ruin. He won't care, though, as he can always move to one of his resorts out of the country if he can't find a way to keep the White House residency and his family. He wins either way. The other side of this ugly coin is that his crony, Steve Bannon, is working Europe to spread the MAGA disease over there right now, starting in Italy after this latest ruling from the Italian courts with designs on the rest of right-wing Europe. Can you imagine if the MAGA ideology got a foothold in the EU? Hungary Orban will be all over it as long as he can be in charge of a large portion of it over there. Putin won't want any part of it, but he'll sit back and let it go, then pick over the leftover bones of what used to be the democratic Europe once the MAGA faction have done their damage. Europe currently doesn't have the manufacturing capabilities of the United States, but they realize now, with Trump the presumptive Republican nominee, that they need to take better care of themselves. They're ramping up defense spending and training for their troops to be able to hold off the Russians when they come, as we speak. If Trump takes over in 2025, they know that they will be on their own. Trump has already said in his campaign rallies that he wants NATO to take over more of their own defenses, with the admonition for them to spend more of their own money on defense. He cries about that NATO clause that everyone has to give up 2% or more of their GDP towards self-defense. On the flip side, Biden has a credibility problem that he tried hard to discredit at the SODU. Depending on which news media you listen to or watch, you could decide that for yourself. He came out punching, apparently, which is good for him. He just has to maintain that attitude for the long haul. But can he do it? That's the question of the day. Meanwhile, the Democrats are starting to look around for alternatives in case Biden falters at the nominating convention. They're looking at Governor Newsom of California and a few others, but Newsom seems to be the top choice if it comes to that. Time will tell, but they don't have much of that left now. This political clown show is serious business, but entertaining as well, almost like a TV drama in some ways. What would a Biden second term look like? That depends on the American voters. If they vote in another Republican House, it'll be 4 more years of the same. If they vote in a Republican Congress, then Biden will spend his 4 years mired in warfare with the Republicans, and the government will come to an even worse standstill. Even better scenario, the voters get fed up with all the drama and vote in a supermajority Democrat government. Both the executive and legislative arms become Democrat-run, and they fix the bias Supreme Court. That would be a dream, or at least not a nightmare. The odds of that happening are pretty slim, though. Expect the House to stay pretty evenly divided, maybe slightly more Democrats or not. It's too early to tell, but one can hope anyway. I don't like the Democrats for everything they do, but they are way better than the MAGA Republicans right now. It's too much to speculate about what's going to happen in November of 2024. We may know more by then, but it's only March now. Everyone's getting all excited, especially after the SODU speech. But that'll all die down after a week or so. It's up to Biden to make or break his campaign stretch. He can't rely on his incumbent status this time. His popularity is too low. He'll have to take some time out to get out amongst the voters and make his case. He's doing that a little, but he needs a lot more exposure. Americans vote for whomever's the most entertaining. They voted for Biden last time because after what Trump did and didn't do in his last term, Biden needs to step up and tell everyone in the country again what to expect from another Trump presidency and be very convincing. That's the key. Biden needs some major speeches around the country to give himself visibility and credibility to the voters. He needs to put Israel in its place.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Soon. This new plan of building the portable docks for aid ships is a start, but it's likely to take too long to build. The Palestinians are running out of time quickly. If Netanyahu invades Rafah, as he says he will, and the IDF kills thousands more, it'll be up to Biden to lead the world in saying no. Will he do it, though? He says he supports Israel's rights to self-defense, and yet he is telling Israel that killing all the Palestinians is wrong. He needs to figure out which direction to go and stick with it. But as nearly everyone else in the world can see, despite Israel's efforts to stop the media, Israel went way beyond self-defense and is planning to go farther unless someone steps up to stop them. Biden, using the clout of veto in the UN, can stop this, if he chooses to do so. That would gain him some of that political coinage he so desperately needs with a large segment of the voters right now and the world. Will he do it, though? Does Joe Biden have enough backbone to stand up to the war hawks and diehard evangelical Israel supporters and do the right thing by the Palestinians? Good question. So far, the answer's been no. But he is changing directions, so now let's see how far he goes. I'm sure that the general public and journalists are not getting the whole story about why Biden has been so firmly behind the Israeli government. That goes back to the beginning of this podcast to a degree. There is no more freedom of the press, especially in the United States anymore. I can't say that enough. We need to get that back, but it's largely up to the journalists and the companies they work for. The governments like the U.S., Russia, China, and Hungary have taken that freedom away. The public has to take a stand and demand that those rights enshrined in their constitutions be enforced. That includes the right of a woman to have full control of her body and reproductive rights. The right of an LGBTQ or trans person to enjoy the same civil rights as any other citizen of the country they live in. I'm going to leave you with that thought as I take a break now for a minute. Please listen to my public service announcement, and I'll be back shortly. I want to take a minute to tell any veterans out there who may be watching or listening to this show, or a dependent who may be living with a veteran who may be struggling, but they don't want to reach out because of the stigma attached. I will tell you that I have been there, and I struggled for a few years before I was more or less forced into seeking help from a local veteran center. It changed my life. Not before I lost another family, but at least I didn't end up on the street or in jail, which I came close to. Look at the posters I have showing and take down the numbers shown. 988, then press 1. Text 838-255. Or go to veteranscrisisline.net/chat to talk to someone. It's all confidential, and they're open 24/7. Whatever's going on with you, they can help. I know that the counselors I reached out to gave me my life back. Someone here can do the same for you or your loved one. Help with just one phone call, text, or chat away. If someone needs help, don't hesitate any longer. Make the call that could save someone's life. Welcome back. As I was saying before the break, the citizens of the United States need to decide as a whole what kind of country they want to live in. A free country or life under authoritarian rule. The U.S. used to be a better place to live in not that long ago. Not perfect, but better. Every country has its problems, but the U.S. used to be able to work them out for the most part. There have been violent clashes in the past, but things sorted themselves out to a degree. The U.S. has a bad reputation for genocidal actions, starting with the Native Americans and then the slaves. They have fought with one another at various times, the most notorious being the Civil War of the 1860s. But there have been other lesser violent clashes. Such as the union labor fights in the early 20th century, the Vietnam War protests of the late 1960s and early 70s. There have been other smaller skirmishes as well, mostly having to do with the African American equal rights going back to the end of the Civil War in 1865 through the Jim Crow years. Most recently, the Black Lives Matter protests, which went largely nowhere, sorry to say. Now we have the pro-Palestine protests going on around the world that the media is not reporting about very much. I see some stories coming out of the UK and Europe, but very little in the US. That's by design, based on the stories I've read on some of the independent news organizations. As with previous protests, the police are called out to quell the rioters, who are largely peaceful, which is supposed to be another one of those so-called freedoms. Another First Amendment right that has largely gone away. After some protesters were killed in recent years, the authorities are afraid that any protest will cause death and destruction of property. Some of that is laid on the feet of the counter-protesters, but still, if a group of people wish to exercise their right to peaceful assembly and notify the authorities that they wish to do so at such and such a place and such a time, they should be allowed to do so. That's also written in the First Amendment. The first of the amendments in the Bill of Rights, right alongside freedom of the press. These days, it's all about what you're protesting about. There are things you can protest, like a flower show or something benign, and a lot of things you can't anymore. Any Black Lives Matters or pro-Palestine protests are definitely off the approved list by the authorities. LGBTQ rights protests are most certainly on the naughty list these days, especially in about 23 American states, maybe more. It's getting very bad for those people, and I grow concerned for their future safety, especially if the MAGA people take over the government. As I said earlier, if people like Stephen Miller return to the federal government, a lot of things are going to change. Think of internment camps at the southern borders with barbed wire enclosures, tent cities, or wooden barrack-style buildings like the Japanese and German camps from World War II. Yes, the U.S. put away German immigrants back then. They weren't that many of them, but not as many as the Japanese peoples anyway. The National Guard units will go from helping out at the Border Patrol to guarding the camps until our residents can be deported. How will this not become the American version of a Russian gulag? It will likely ban all trans people from getting the care they need nationwide. LGBTQ people will be marginalized even more than they are now. In time, the African Americans will revert back to the Jim Crow days if the MAGA people retain power, which they will do all they can to do that, so as long as they can do it in perpetuity. If any of the blue states object, they may be subjected to federal troops taking over their state institutions to force them to obey. This sounds like something out of a dystopian science fiction book. Look around you. Take a few minutes away from your computer and cell phone screens to read the news outside of mainstream cable media. These stories and more are being published nearly every day. You just have to know where to look. There are a lot of independent writers and journalists who write on Substack. They are paywalled for the most part, but that isn't much different than subscribing to CNN or Fox News. If you truly wanted to know what's going on around you or behind your back, step away from Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, and search for the topics that interest you on platforms like Substack. It is those platforms that the independent journalists are now writing to because the mainstream news has dismissed them for writing the truth as they witnessed it. Remember, I told you that a lot of local news companies, the hometown newspapers, have all closed up now. Where do you think all those editors and journalists have ended up now? They write for online magazines and publications to continue to get the word out about what's going on. Tom Hartman is a noted liberal journalist who has had his own TV network and daily show for a lot of years. I read his daily news every day I can. I also listen to and read articles from the Real News Network and the Chris Hedges Report from the Real News Network as much as I can. I also read quite a few others as well. I'm telling you all this not to necessarily put a plug in for them, although they deserve it, but to provide examples of independent journalism. It's out there. You just have to go find it if you really want to know the truth. Ultimately, it's up to you, the American voter, to make a decision about what you want to do before November. I prefer to know all the angles and dig for the truth as best as I can before I make any life-changing decisions. I haven't always been able to do that, but that was usually because someone was trying to shoot me or blow me up. You know, remember, I'm former military. Now I have the time to research the truth. I don't always get it right, but I like to think that I put my best effort forwards towards trying to find the truth, or as much as I can find anyway. These days it's getting harder and harder to do that. The U.S. is on its way to becoming another Hungary. A large portion of the population can't see their hands in front of their faces because they're so mad at the government. It's that kind of polarization that allows the bad guys to swoop in and take over while telling everyone they will fix their problems. By telling the rubes just what they want to hear, they can continue to run their con games until it's too late. Is that who the MAGA believers are? A bunch of rubes at a carnival? Certainly sounds like it. And the people like Donald Trump have been conning good, hardworking people out of their money for decades. Donald Trump won't stop until he's in the grave. His sons are chips off the old block, but don't have enough common sense to get out of their own way. Donald may install one of them to take over the throne when he's unable to do so anymore, but they won't last long. But by then, the damage to the once mighty United States will be done, and the U.S. will no longer be a superpower. The think tanks predict that if Donald Trump wins in November, based on his campaign speeches, the U.S. will be finished by 2030 or thereabouts. Think about that. The United States will become a country on par with countries like Hungary, only worse within the next 8 to 12 years if the MAGA people take over the federal government. This is their prediction. And these people have lots of college degrees and experience with this sort of thing. I'm not making this up. I read about these things all the time. You can too if you truly want to save your way of life. Get your heads out of the sand and pay attention. depending on your economic, immigration, sexual preferences, or maternal statuses, your lives may depend on this in about a year or so. For some, maybe a little longer, but eventually, if you're not a white Christian man, your constitutional rights will probably be gone. If you're of Latino origin, you better start looking for cover. Stephen Miller will be coming for you first, eventually, once he deports all the people in the U.S. without any papers. Then it will be the visa holders. Then it'll be the green card holders. They can't have you polluting their white DNA, as Donald Trump told everyone recently at one of his rallies. Is this what you want? I have a foreign-born wife, and I worry for her in this current climate. I'm pushing her to get her citizenship as soon as she can, but it may become a matter of life or death if she delays any longer. Her green card may not be good enough in a couple of years. If you're a Latino, even citizenship or being native-born may not be enough someday if the MAGA people remain in charge of the U.S. for more than 4 years. Under a white Christian nationalist government, it may become a country for whites only, like a lot of them want, or they proclaim according to their divine right. I realize that I veer off into a fictional future, but think about it, or better yet, read about it. That future isn't as far-fetched as you may think if the MAGA people take over our government in January of 2025. Now, that's all I've got for everyone this week. I hope I've given you, all of you who watch or listen to this, something to think about as you go about your week. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll return again for another episode of the Village Oak Tree. Please share this podcast with your friends and relations. The more you share, the more we can convince enough people to make the world a better place to live in. This is Shauna Kay. I hope you'll continue to let me travel to your village to bring you some news from the world outside that might make you think a little after we part for the day. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May the saddest day of your future be no worse than the happiest day of your past. Slán go fóill, which means goodbye for now in Irish.